go on and get started, but we'll just take about one more minute of shout-outs. Who else do we have who just joined us?
This is Texas.
I'm sorry, I just heard Texas, but welcome to the call. Who else? Who was that?
This is Viv from Trophy Club, Texas.
Oh, good morning, Miss Viv. Welcome, welcome. Glad to have you on the call. Who else do we have with us?
Dr. Solomon in Houston.
Well, hello, Dr. Solomon. What a pleasant surprise. Honored to have you this morning on the Master's Call. Well, again, we praise God for each and every one of you being a part of this kingdom building this morning. And on this wonderful Wednesday morning, we're going to go on and get started with prayer. The prayer warrior that we're always honored to have come before us and open us up in a word of prayer is Miss Robin. And Robin, we're going to ask you now to lead us to the throne room of God.
Amen. Can you hear me, Dr. Vanessa?
Loud and clear.
Praise God. Good morning, Lord. You are our master, and we glorify you this day, Lord God. Father, we thank you that we have the victory, Lord God, in all that we do. Father, we thank you that we triumph over the enemy, Lord, because you reign, O God. Father, we trust in you. We put our hearts in you, Father. We lean not into our own understanding, Lord God. We acknowledge you in all of our ways, and we know you make our path straight. Father, I thank you because you are our sovereign God. You're the one who has made the heaven. You're the one who's made the earth, Father. You have all power, Lord God, in your outstretched hand. Hallelujah. Father, there's nothing too hard for you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you've given us power to triumph over the enemy, Lord God. Every scheme that he tried to devise today is canceled in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that the airway is clear. I thank you, Lord God, that the phone line is open. I thank you, Lord, that your word is coming through with clarity, with conciseness, Father. I thank you that your word will be accurate, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that the founders of this call, Dr. PK and Dr. Vanessa, Father God, they're strong in you and in the power of your might, Father. I thank you that they dwell in the secret place of the Most High, God. They abide under the shadow of the Almighty, Lord God. I thank you for your angels that are encamped over them, Father. Lord, I thank you for the Diaz de Leon family, Lord, and for Audis International, Father. I thank you that, Lord, they are successful. They have your peace. They have your wisdom, Lord God, and you're sending men and women to surround them, Lord, for the vision that you've given them to continue to go forward throughout this world in the name of Jesus. Father, your people are strong in you, Lord God. I lift up the speaker of this call this day, Father. I thank you, Father, that Pastor Chuck has a word in season for us, Father. It's a now word. It's a rhema word. It's a word that we'll go forward and we will do and bring to the marketplace, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, because you said everything that has a name bows to the authority of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Father, that fear, depression, doubt, anxiety, all bow to the name of Jesus, and we are victorious in that area, Father. Your people are financially blessed, Father. Wealth is in their hands. It is plentiful, Father. Your people walk in divine health, and we thank you, Lord Jesus. You came with healing in your wing. We thank you, Lord, because we will hear your word. We will do your word. We will go forward, Lord God, seeking your kingdom and your way of doing things, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I bless you, Lord, and I honor you, Lord.
Yes.
You are majestic. You are holy. You are righteous, Lord, and all of heaven and earth belong to you, and we bow before you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Back to you, Pastor Vanessa.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Robin. We appreciate you as we always seek to strategically clear the heavens and anoint the atmosphere so that the word of God can come forth freely. So thank you, General, for standing in the gap this morning and leading us into that place of perfect worship to hear the word of God. Well, before our speaker comes, we have just a few announcements. We thank God for each and every one of you being a part of the Master's Call family this morning and being on this call. And we have a website we always encourage and invite you to visit. And our website is www.themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com. Again, it's the Masters with an S, morningcall.wordpress.com. And there you can find a list, a legacy of rich word where you can sit at the table and be fed the word of God. I mean, be fed in your spirit, your soul, your mind, and encourage. There are links of every message every day, and all you have to do is click on them, and it'll take you right to the word of the Lord for that day. And we encourage you to send these links on to others so others can be spiritually fed a rich word full of the nutrients, so that as we've been learning, so that our roots can go deep in Jesus. We also love to receive prayer requests and praise reports and testimonies from you, and our email is themastersmorningcall@gmail.com. themastersmorningcall@gmail.com. We know one of our specific mandates and assignments of this call that God gave Dr. PK and I from the beginning was to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for Artists International. And with our garrison of prayer warriors, we bombard heaven over your prayer requests, and we love to hear the praise reports for the manifestation of God's promises. And also, we encourage each and every one of us in our artist family to visit your back office. And in this season of traveling, definitely cover our teams as they go here and there, having our artist training course, our ATC training. We have one coming up this weekend in Miami, the Fort Lauderdale area. Please go to your back office and avail yourselves, but definitely cover them in prayer. On May 7th, they'll be in Toronto, Canada, and our regional event. Just many things coming up in Atlanta. The ATC training will be May 14th. We want to prepare the heavens even now and cover these events, cover our leadership team with their traveling, with their health, just with protection. So we lift them up, and in our back office, as we've been talking about, our company is giving away a car every month, and you want to get all the details. So just avail yourself by going into the back office and doing that good four-letter word, read, and see what's going on in our company. All right, well, now we want you to prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and so I love to tell you to get out a pen and paper and tighten up that spiritual bib so you can eat and pull this morning from the awesome man of God. We are so honored that he is part of the Master's Call family. Our speaker, our son in the ministry, hails from New Orleans, Louisiana, and Pastor Chuck Brown is an awesome man of God, a husband, a father, a senior pastor who's been blessed, him and his ministry, with a new sanctuary. We're excited to hear about their upcoming dedication, but he's also a psalmist and an author and just a talented, cutting-edge mouthpiece for the Lord. He's ahead of his time, and I'm so excited that he's moving so powerfully in his season. So I present to some and introduce to others our mouthpiece from glory this morning, Pastor Chuck Brown. The floor is yours.
Good morning. Praise God. Dr. Vanessa, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. And you, man of God?
I'm doing awesome, doing awesome. I am always grateful to be here on the call with that God has given to you and Dr. PK to share with us. We bless the Lord for your assignment and know that so many are being blessed, healed, set free, and delivered, and encouraged, and inspired by this call, and we praise the Lord for you. Amen. Thank God for the prayer as well. I want to go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We begin reading at verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and said unto them, Go your way unto the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a coat tied, whereon no, never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord had need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Why do you say this? Say ye that the Lord had need of him. This morning the Lord just placed upon my heart to share with you some biblical truths concerning ministry. And I want to say, first of all, that you're not just saved to go to heaven. That's not just the only reason, nor are you redeemed just to be a member of someone's church. God will always attach something to a life. No one is born without it. And without it, no one can live a fulfilled life. The it that I'm speaking of is purpose. And I want to minister this morning from this title, The Anointing of Purpose, The Anointing of Purpose. You are here for a purpose. There is something in the kingdom that God expects for you to do. There are no insignificant people in the kingdom. Why do you think that out of all the millions of sperm cells that fought to fertilize the egg, you were the one that made it? Why do you think that out of all the people you know who are dead, you're the one that's still alive? Why do you think that out of all of the people who've lost their minds, you're the one that is still able to function with clarity? It's simply because God has purpose for you for this time and for this season. That is not to say that the other people don't have purpose. I just want to drive home the fact that until you connect to and live life through your purpose, your life will be meaningless. Who here wants to live a life that meant nothing? Which of you want the eulogy of your funeral to be full of fluff? He was a good person. She was a nice lady. Well, we all want people to say that we were great and that our lives had purpose and that someone else's life was touched because of our purpose. And there are three things, three principles I want to impart into your life on this morning. Number one, your anointing is what God has assigned you to do. Your anointing is what God has assigned you to do. People love to throw words around that sound deep. They're quick to tell you how anointed they are. But what does it actually mean to be anointed? How do I know if I'm operating under the anointing of God? Is it possible to be anointed and not walk in the anointing? Listen, don't be caught up in the spirit, the jargon of religious terms. Always seek to know what it is that you're saying. And all that getting, get an understanding. It's imperative that you understand what it means to be anointed, not just say it. To some, being anointed means stealing God. That's not necessarily being anointed. That's just having an experience with God. To others, being anointed means that you are now able to function in the prophetic or give words of wisdom or discern spirits. That's not being anointed necessarily. That's just being endowed with spiritual gifts. To be anointed is to be given an assignment by God. It is to be given a task from God for you to accomplish something. Please understand that God expects the assignments that he gives us to be carried out. It's like his word. When he speaks forth his word, he expects it to accomplish that which it was sent out for, and his word cannot return void. It cannot go back to God until it has done what it was sent out to do. And when God sends out his word of prosperity, it cannot go back to God until it is completed and done what God sent it out to do. When God sends out a word of healing and restoration and deliverance and salvation, the word can't go back until it says mission accomplished. I'm anointed because I'm assigned to do something. Nobody else in this world can do what God has assigned you to do by the way you can do it. You have a smile that no one else has. You have a voice that no one else has. You have creativity that no one else has. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 19, it was Jesus' turn to do the scripture reading. He opened the script and he found where Isaiah had written about him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Not so I can just feel good. Not so I can just speak in tongues and say church was good today or get a quick man. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says, because he hath anointed me. He has given me an assignment. Jesus then goes on to read what the assignment is. His anointing was something for him to do. It was his job description. Listen, if you're anointed, then you're anointed to do something. I want you to say this to yourself, that I'm anointed to do something. Number two, your assignments lead you to your purpose. The thing that God has assigned you to do will always lead to the purpose for which you are alive. John 3:16, we're always able to quote that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Okay, so we understand that Jesus had to die for us. He had to become the ultimate sacrifice. But how was he going to accomplish his purpose? He had to first fulfill the assignments given to him, which were in that scripture that he read, to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, give sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The reason he was able to accomplish his purpose was because he did the assignments given to him. Some of us think that we're too good to do what God has assigned us to do, and our problem is that we want the big assignments when God never gives us a bigger assignment until we finish what he's already told us to do. If you can't handle what you've been given, then how are you going to be able to do more? Moses couldn't part the Red Sea until he first did what God told him to do. Tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Joshua couldn't conquer the promised land until he did what God first told him to do, march around Jericho 7 times. Gideon couldn't deliver Israel from bondage until he did what God told him to do, fight with an army of 300. What I'm driving at is that we want the great exploits without following the simple instructions. We want the Red Sea experience and the slaying of Goliath experience and the walking on water experience without doing the simple things that God instructs us to do. In our text, we find Jesus in the middle of giving two of his disciples some instruction. They were to go into the village, and as soon as they arrived, they would see a donkey that was tied up that nobody had rode on before. And I want to talk about this donkey. Of all the creatures in the world, the donkey and the mule are the most stubborn. They are told to do one thing, and they either ignore the instruction or they do what they want to do. Now, I'm not calling us donkeys, but I am saying that many of us hear God telling us to do something, but we're too stubborn to do it. Right now, I want to deal with that stubborn, disobedient spirit. God is telling some of you to get involved in ministry, and you won't do it. Yet you want to know how it is that your life is messed up and how things aren't happening for you the way that you want them to happen is because you're too stubborn to do what you know God is telling you to do. The donkey was born with an assignment, but there was a problem. When the disciples found it, it was tied up. It had purpose, but it was just sitting there. It had an assignment, but it wasn't doing anything because it was tied up. Let me share a few things about this being tied up. This donkey was tied up, but it couldn't tie itself up. Somebody else had to tie it up. So, yeah, some of you allowed someone else to tie you up. Yes, you let somebody tell you what you should and shouldn't be doing, so many stopped working in ministry and wind up being tied up. You didn't like the fact that your ministry leader or your pastor held you accountable, so you stop doing what you know you're supposed to do and got tied up. But when you're tied up, that means that you're being kept from purpose. Sometimes we see things in ministry and it ties us up. Sometimes we've been hurt in ministry and we get tied up. Here's the thing. You can't let people keep you from being who God purposed you to be. Don't let other people's issues keep you from your assignment. Don't let other people's hurts keep you from your assignment. You have to release any hurt or issues you may have so that you won't stay tied up and stagnant and stationary and without purpose. Listen, I can do a lot of stuff, but I can't stay tied up. For some of you, however, being tied up was the best thing that ever happened to you. See, when we're so busy going here and going there, doing this and doing that, focused on everything but what God called you to do, then God will let you get tied up to something justifying you. Some of us weren't just tied up. God had to tie us down so that we could be in the right place at the right time. From the moment this donkey was born, he was given a specific and unique assignment, but because of the stubborn nature of the donkey, God knew that it had to be tied up. Some of us would still be alcoholics if we hadn't been tied up. Some of us would still be drug addicts if we hadn't been tied up. Some of us would still be clubbing if we hadn't been tied up. Some of us would still be running the streets and sleeping around with everybody and crazy and deranged if we hadn't been tied up. God had to tie you up so that he could find you when it was time for you to be used. There's no telling where that donkey would have been had it not been tied up. The disciples would have come to the village and not been able to find the donkey. Sure, there were many other donkeys, but no other donkey could do what this particular donkey was purposed to do. Sure, we have, you know, so many members in the body, but no one else can beat you being you. The other people have other assignments, so you have to be in place to fulfill your purpose. And if you seem to be getting off track, God will tie you up. Here's the third principle I want to leave with you. Your purpose is for someone else. Your purpose is for someone else. in the latter part of verse 2, it says, you shall find a coat tied, whereon never man sat, loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you do this? Say ye that the Lord had need of him. Before I go any further, I need you to understand that your assignment will always be to help somebody else. So if you're selfish, you can't be anointed. If you're self-centered, if the world got to rotate around you and revolve around you, then God can't bless you because he blesses you to be a blessing. Listen, your anointing ain't about you. Get over yourself, my time, my money, my gas. Ministry is bigger than you. There is somebody that is attached to your assignment, and if you don't fulfill the assignment that God has given you, they die. If you don't fulfill the assignment that God has given you, they go to hell. If you don't fulfill the assignment given to you, they stay bound. If you don't fulfill the assignment God has given you, they stay stuck. It's bigger than you. This ain't about you. Your purpose is for someone else. Jesus said to find a donkey that no man had ridden. No man ever rode it before. It hadn't been used because the king was supposed to use it. Some people complain about how nobody wants to use them and nobody uses them when you uses them when you need to be given thanks for the fact that God had you in a place where nobody could contaminate you. He hid you so you couldn't be misused and abused. He hid you so you couldn't be taken advantage of. He hid you so you wouldn't be hurt. Because no one had ever ridden the donkey, it was unproven. But that's just like God to take something that's not proven, stubborn, and tied up, and shape her into greatness. God takes what others call trash and beautifies it. God takes clay that is marred. He doesn't throw it away. He just rebuilds it and remakes it until it becomes who he wants it to be. It doesn't matter what state you're in when he finds you. Because God can use you stinky, unproven, and unsure of yourself. Verse 3 is very interesting because Jesus knows how folk are. He warned the disciples that there would be people who would inquire, why are you losing that donkey? And I say this is interesting because there are people around you who don't want you to be used. They don't want you to be delivered. They don't want you to be set free. They always want to have something they can hold over your head. In fact, they had no intentions of untying the donkey, but now are interested. They had the power to untie it themselves, but kept walking past it every day. They talked about how it's a shame, how she ain't doing nothing with her life. It's a shame how he's just sitting there day after day. But then when God comes on the scene and starts untying them, they go to Pastor. Pastor, why are y'all using her to sing songs? Don't you know what she's done? Why you got him praying? Why are they grieving? Why are they leading? Why are they working? No, you know they were tied up, huh? Yeah, well, baby, let me tell you something. All of us were tied up at one point or another, but God sent somebody to give a word that freed me from all of you who wanted me to stay in the condition I was in. God sent somebody to pray me out of the bondage that people hoped I would die in. If you don't want to use me, that's fine. Just get out of my way. If you don't want to untie me, that's fine. Just get out of the way of the folk that God has sent to loose me. Jesus then says, if they ask, why are you untying him or her? Tell them the master has need of them. I know I don't look like much to y'all, but the master has need of me. I know I'm being a donkey. I may not smell right to you, but the master has need of me. I know I don't talk the way you think I should talk, but the master said he has need of me. Hallelujah. God has need of you. So God is using ministers, and every day this morning, on these morning calls, these speakers are here to untie you. Every day, time you go to church, the pastor or the evangelist or revivalist is there to untie you because the master has need of you. It's not that God just wants you to get involved. You got to get this. He needs you to get involved. If you don't, then the king has no way of riding in victory. If you don't, then God is not glorified. If you don't respond to the call, then Sam won't make it. If you don't respond to the call, then Flora will get pregnant as a teenager. If you don't respond to the call, then Corey will get in the game. If you don't respond to the call, then Paula and Fred's marriage won't make it, and the Robins will lose their homes, and so forth. I'm anointed for purpose. I've always wondered, why, God, did you send me back to New Orleans after Katrina? God, I really don't want to stay here, but I realize my anointing. I've been assigned to this place for this time. Not for me. It has nothing to do with me, but for those people whose lives God has sent me to touch, who otherwise wouldn't be involved, who otherwise wouldn't be saved, who otherwise wouldn't be connected. It's because somebody understands the anointing of purpose. Is there anybody here who will admit that you want your family's first choice to be you? Is it anybody on this line that will admit that you want man's first choice or you weren't voted most likely to succeed. Listen, although I may not be your first choice, I'm here because I was God's choice. You may not understand why I'm being elevated. It's because I was anointed for purpose. You may not understand why it is that I have doors opening up for me. It's because of the anointing that lies on the inside of me. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You ain't got nothing to do with this. This anointing was placed in you before there was a you. Before your mom and daddy got together, God already had purpose for you. Before you took your first step and said your first words, God had purpose for you. Before you made your first mistakes, God had purpose for you. All he wants us to do is to stop being like that donkey, stubborn and rebellious. There's somebody that God is trying to reach through you. There's somebody that God is trying to save through you. There's someone God is trying to deliver through you. There is a person who God wants to set free through your life. You have purpose for your life, and there's a reason that you're alive for this day. There's a point to you being connected to ministries because God has need of you. The master has need of you. All he wants is for somebody who will get outside of themselves and say, Lord, use me. I'll go where you want me to go. Lord, use me. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll walk how you want me to walk. God, I'll live how you want me to live. Here I am, Lord, use me. Lord, I'll go, just use me. I'm willing to go all the way. I say yes to your will. I say yes, I'll go. I say yes, use me. Even when I don't feel like it, God, use me. Not my will, but yours be done, because this ain't about me. It's not about me at all. It's for someone else. I speak to the purpose that's over every person's life in this place, on this line. I speak to your purpose, that it will rise up, that you will not allow fear to keep you from walking in your purpose. And yes, purpose is not always a church thing. There's some of you who have the gift and the talent of beauty salon. You know, you beautify people's hairs and all of those things. But you know, the beauty salon and the barbershop, they're known for having a lot of gossip going on. But God can use you to change the atmosphere and to give people advice and wise counsel. While you're selling artists and while you're going about, God will use this product not just to get you rich, but for you to touch people's lives, to develop the leader that's in you, to bring out that lion of greatness that's on the inside of you. I speak to your purpose, that your purpose must rise up to the top, that you must prioritize what God has given you to be. And this purpose, I speak to your purpose, and I say line up with your purpose and allow your purpose to be your obsession, so that when we see you, we see your purpose with you. God bless you. I know this wasn't the hollow screen type, but I wanted to stir something up in you and inspire you and encourage you this morning. Dr. Vanessa, the floor is back to you. God bless.
Glory, glory, glory. All we need is the altar call, and yes, Lord, I surrender this morning. The anointing of purpose. What a word. Man of God, I tell you, the cutting word of God always comes out of your mouth. We thank God for you being a yielded vessel. Those three nuggets about how do you know that you're anointed, we'll take those. Oh, please spread this word on and pass the link on. We'll be posting to many others because they need this word. This was a right now word this wonderful Wednesday morning, Pastor Chuck. And we thank you so much for being a yielded vessel to speak to our hearts and our spirits. Tiffany, we have about 2 minutes left. If you will please come now and lead us in a word of prayer covering this awesome word and our prayer request, I turn the floor over to you.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless your holy name. We thank you for the powerful word, Father God, that you have delivered through your vessel, the man of God, Father God, who has propped us up and positioned us up, Father God, to surrender to your will, that our purpose, Father God, in our lives, for each of us, our purposes, Father God, will be lined up with your word, lined up with your will, lined up with your way, Father God. Help us to be who you have called us to be right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that every sickness, every illness, every pain, everything that hurts us, Father God, will be removed right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. I pray that every financial need will be met, Father God. I pray that every job, employment opportunity, Father God, need will be met, Father God. I pray for prosperity over the closing of everyone's artist business in this month, Father God. I pray that we will end in a mighty way, oh God, because you said in your word, Father God, that you would supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory, oh God. So we give this day to you. We give our lives to you. We surrender to you. We will be obedient to you, Father God, so truly we could be who you have called for us to be, your children, Father God. I ask right now in the name of Jesus as we go through this day, Father God, that this day truly will be about you, Father God. And I ask right now that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be upon each of us as we go through this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, I tell you, we have been fired up, equipped, and focused this morning. The anointing of purpose. What a powerful word and instruction to be put on our hearts. And I tell you, this is a word you need to listen to again and again and again and let it marinate in your spirit and in your mind. And again, we thank you, Tiffany, for sealing that with the word of prayer. And what can I say, Pastor Chuck? You have been such a blessing to our lives and to this master called family. We just esteem the God in you. We cover you in prayer. And we thank you, Robin, for opening us up this morning in prayer. And on behalf of Dr. P.K. Roberts and myself, Pastor Vanessa, we are so honored that you have seen fit this morning to hear a clarion word from the Lord and being a part of the Master's call. We invite you now this day to go out and submit to that anointing of purpose with the call of God on your life from the Master, being his minister in the marketplace. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.